Let's bow to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the stillness of this evening now. We thank you, Father, that just mere seconds ago we were able to lift our voices in praise to thee. And although our voices are imperfect and perhaps even our motivation was not 100%, Father, we ask that you would still accept our offering of praise. We don't deserve the love that you give us. We don't deserve the grace that you give us. And yet, Father, you so richly give it to us, and we're so thankful. And we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would impress upon our hearts the lopsided nature of our relationship, how poorly we live for you, how poorly we give to you. And yet you have given everything for us to win us, to make it possible. Thank you, Father, for this inequity. We thank you, Father, for this amazing gift of your Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts. Again, something we so don't deserve, and yet you so freely give him. We thank you for his work in our lives, for sanctification and for his leading. And we thank you, Father, that through him you have marked us as your own. We look to him now, Father, to give us instruction from your word, to help us to look into these pages and to understand the deep mystery of godliness, to understand who you are and what our response needs to be. We thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his mercy, for his great love for us that drove him, compelled him to come to this earth and to offer up his life as a sacrifice for us so that you would be just in forgiving us. We thank you, Father, for his righteousness and the freedom that we have from the dominion of sin, and that we are now free to live for you in this covenant fellowship, this covenant relationship we have with you. We thank you, Father, for all of these things. And now as we would look into these pages, we look forward with anticipation, Father, to what your Spirit would speak to us. And may we with courage hear these words and then also, through the power of your Holy Spirit, live them out. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen. It's been a while since, just by circumstances, I haven't been here. But I'm excited to... We finished in Matthew chapter 5, and I would like to, by God's grace, continue with the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6. So much profound teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in these three chapters, 5, 6, and 7. It's inexhaustible almost. You could preach it and then preach it over again and still learn again from it. So turn with me, if you could, to Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Just one verse. There's enough there for tonight. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Jesus, after having gone through in chapter 5, discussing what does it look like for us, having repented and now becoming children of God, living in the kingdom, what does it look like in our thought life? What are the things that we should be rejoicing in? How should we consider ourselves blessed? You know, we read the Beatitudes, a great challenge to us. And then it continues on discussing the law and how the Pharisees had gone and distorted the law and twisted it. And Jesus was giving us a true understanding of what the law means, and not just correcting their misconception or their false teaching, but then also actually taking the law as it would have been delivered to Moses, and almost in a sense raising the bar, setting the standard even to a more severe degree of holiness that we're supposed to, or the thoughts, or the attitude that we're supposed to have. Chapter 6 now moves on to righteousness in our religious lives, we will see as we go through the next few verses, they're broken up into three different acts of religious observance or piety, and these were dear to the, or very important to the Jewish nation. They were giving of alms, praying, and fasting. And so Jesus is going to address these in the following verses, but this verse here is almost like an introduction to these three topics that he wants to talk about. All other translations actually say, take heed that you do not your deeds of righteousness or exercise your righteousness before men. The King James here says alms, and that's the truest interpretation or translation from the Greek. But if you look at the pattern here, he talks about, he treats alms, praying, and fasting in all the same fashion. But this verse here is almost like a setup to it, like an introduction to the next three topics that he wants to talk about. And it starts with, take heed that you do not your alms before men. Our society, I want to say predominantly North America, but I think it's the Western civilization in a sense, like that would be Europe and so on. We love to be entertained. Would you not agree? We love entertainment. I heard on the news, rewards or awards given to musicians. This is now the award season, I gather, by what I hear. Coming up will be the Oscars, and it's the awards given to those who have made movies, who have acted in movies, and so on and so forth. And this is a big deal to North America. This is something that they take great pride in, that they have been able to craft a story, or that they have been able to act in such a way to evoke emotion, to entertain people. We put a high price on acting. Each one of us, to a certain degree, more or less, is an actor in our lives as well. An actor, another name for an actor, interestingly enough, Jesus uses it in the next three or in the following verses, is a hypocrite. A hypocrite was a term used in the theater. They were actors. They were a person who was imagining or pretending to be what he is not. One who assumes a false appearance. We value actors. We value actors. They make gobs and gobs of money because we value them so much. And then in a sense, we also are an actor culture in which we put on appearances. We assume a false appearance. And you may challenge me and say, well, speak for yourself. I will. I do this myself. I'm not proud of it, but I don't want to always be seen for who I really am. And so I put on a facade. I assume or I pretend to be somebody who I am not. And we see this, it's rife in our culture. We honor those who are good actors, those who can tell a story. It touches our emotion. But how many of us put on a mask that other people are supposed to look at? How many of us are afraid to let people see who we really are? So we will dress a certain way. We will purchase certain things. We say things like, what will people think? Four deadly words. What will people think? We look at our lives and we weigh our actions by what we think other people are going to look at and see. How will they respond to our lives? And we want to be perceived in such a way that we want to be somebody who we think they will like. We want to be somebody perhaps who appears to be rich. And so even though we can't afford it, we will go buy expensive things. We will live in houses that are enormously too large for us because that's what we want to be perceived as, people who are rich. We want to be perceived as somebody who is perhaps thin. Our society puts a great value on slenderness, and so we dress to look slim. Dreadfully uncomfortably, we look slim then. And so it goes on and on and on where we perceive, I think that you want or you will value this particular aspect. And so I say, I'm going to be that aspect. I think that you want somebody to, you value the comedian, so I'll try to be funny for you. And all the while, I'm doing this, I'm assuming the appearance of somebody who I am not. Now, nowhere, well, I shouldn't say nowhere, but this is something that is rife through Christianity. This is something that every one of us will have to struggle with. We will have to ask ourselves the question, who am I doing this for? Am I doing this for you, my brother and sister? Am I doing it for those who I think I'm helping? Am I doing it so that men will look at me and praise me? This is what Jesus is addressing here. Take heed that you do not your alms, do not practice religion, do not practice your reverence for God, your veneration for God, your love for who He is and what that means in your life. Don't do it for men. Do it for God. Don't be the hypocrite. Don't be the actor. Because in our world, in this very room, we may put a high price on the person who is what we would call a good Christian. And so, and here is the temptation, that I will do these things, not because that's who I am. I will do these things not because that's what my heart is longing for. I will not do these things because I'm convinced in the depth of my soul that it is righteous and it is truth. But I will do them so that you like me. I will do them so that you praise me. Because it's really nice to be praised. It's really nice when you have the admiration of the world, when you have the admiration of those around you. We want that. We enjoy that. It does something to us. I should speak for myself. I don't know about you. You may all be pure in heart, but I suspect that you're more like me in some ways where you enjoy that too. And that becomes a temptation then, for us to do these things, to live out righteousness so that men will be pleased and will praise us. Just further down in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 23, I want to read to you what Jesus says with regards to the Pharisees. Now, he's directing in the next few verses of Matthew 6. He doesn't specifically address the Pharisees, but he will address them here very specifically. He says, Matthew chapter 23, verse 5, speaking of the Pharisees, the scribes and Pharisees, "But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. How many of us, maybe we don't do these specific things, but how many of us see ourselves in this? Where perhaps we come, if we perceive that this is the way that we ought to dress, this is what the standard of holiness is, I'm going to come and I'm going to dress that way now. How about if in my estimation, it is better for me or it is more holy looking for me to sit in a certain location here in this sanctuary, then I'm going to go sit there because I want to look holy. Simple, but how many of us struggle with that? For me, is church attendance that place in my life where I search for acceptance? I search to be praised by men because I've never missed a church service. The doors are open, I'm here. And you say, well, church service, of course it's important to go to church. I agree, 100%, to go for the right reason. The Pharisees weren't doing these things. They weren't wearing the robes. They weren't going to the feast and so on for the right reasons. Let's pick it up in verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, so actors, for ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisies and iniquity. These are men valued and praised by society, and Jesus is calling them out and saying, you are essentially pretty on the outside and you're dead inside. But you understood. See, these were men who understood what it meant to have good PR or the marketing. They understood that. And so they would do the things that were honorable to look at. But inside, they were dead. We saw in Matthew chapter 5 how they had taken the law and they had perverted it. They had taken it and twisted it. And Jesus saying, you know, you guys, you go twist the law, but yet on the outside, everybody looks at you and thinks you're wonderful. In 2 Timothy, we've read these verses actually just quite recently. Brother Werner read these recently, but they bear reading again. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning, it says here, This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. So pretty serious list. If you find yourself in this list, okay, pay attention. And all of us, in one way or another, will find ourselves to a certain degree in this list. And here verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This is speaking of those who look godly, having some form of godliness. Maybe in practice they are practicing what it looks like to be godly, and yet this is the condition of their hearts. And so the question that I have to ask myself is, where do I see myself in this list? Am I okay with the outward appearance? Do I look at myself and I say, okay, you know, I do all the right things. I have the right clothes. I have the right haircut. I drive the right car or not too much. I look at my life and I say, yeah, this is what I think it means to be a Christian. And so I do all these things, but inside I'm lusting and I'm envious and I'm covetous and everything else. I'm disobedient to parents. Is that the reality of my life? Because it doesn't matter what looks like on the outside. See, here's the rough part about this. We can fake the outside. We are intelligent enough, we're perceptive enough that we can look and we say, this particular behavior is valued in this culture. So I will do that. I will mimic it because I want to be accepted in this culture. And so what's happening here is that you become the ones I want to please. And so I do what you think is right. Or what I think you think is right. And so I may be giving alms to the poor, but I don't give it to them because I pity them. I may be praying 3 hours a day, but I don't do it because I long for the communion of God's presence. Or I don't. Or I long to come into his presence and to align myself with who he is and his will. I do it because I want you to be impressed. Now, how many of us do that? How many of us have, in our thoughts, said, what will people think? There is a... something, though, that we have to consider, though, is because Jesus did say it is important what you do on the outside. It's important because we are lights in this world. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And it's that last sentence that distinguishes between being a light in this world, being out there and being visible, being the light of this world so that people can see our good works in the right context, and give glory to God. The other alternative is that men see our good deeds and glorify us. What is it that we long for? Are we longing to glorify God? Is the time we spend in prayer an obligation? Do we do it because we think I ought to? I should? Because then we're not doing it for God. We're not doing it for the right reason. We're doing it because in our minds, that is the picture of what a Christian is. And so we're doing it then to fulfill that, even if it's just ourselves that see it, instead of longing for the presence of God, instead of having such a great pity on those who are poor that I would give my food, that I will give my money, so that they will have some. The Pharisees were masters of manipulation, masters of winning the hearts of people, looking the part. So what should we do it then for? In 1 Corinthians, it says in chapter 10, verse 31, this was speaking of why we do things, is it in liberty, and so on and so forth. But the verse is verse 31, it says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all for the glory of God. This is hearkening back to Matthew 5:15. Are we letting men see the good deeds that we do so that they give glory to God? Or are we doing them so that men can see them? In Exodus chapter 36, there's a scripture here I'd like to read, speaking of the covenant that God has made with us. But there's something I wanted to point out in here first. So this is speaking of how God is going to make a covenant with us, how he is going to transform us. He's going to take out our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, that he will give us his Holy Spirit, and that he will give us victory over sin. And he says in verse 23, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes." Glorified is another way of saying that when he will be sanctified or glorified through us before their eyes. One of the great purposes that God has in sanctifying us, in giving us the Holy Spirit, in changing us in a profound way, is that we will be that example, or we will be that displayer, that through us, his glory will be displayed. And that is something that we have to wrestle with, and that's another whole long discussion. But why should God be glorified? And God needs to be glorified because of who he is and what he has done, and his majesty and his beauty and his love. And God is a jealous God, and he does not share. He's not willing to just take the back seat and say, you know what, okay, go ahead, you guys can take credit for this. I have done these things. I am the one who, and only one who is worthy to be praised and honored and glorified. And he wants us to give that glory, or to display that glory through our lives, through the deeds that we have done, so that men will look at us and see God's glory. It's for the glory of God that we ought to be doing these things. And so as we will look at the next few verses in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to see that God is saying the things that you are going to do have a very good reason. I'm going to tell you how to do them, and I'll tell you in what circumstances to do them. And these are things done in secret, not because men are supposed to see that and praise us, but because this is supposed to be profoundly changing who we are. This is our response to our relationship to God. Alms, giving of alms, prayer, fasting. These are our religious actions that stem from our relationship to God. They were never meant to become a grand affair for people to see. And we'll see that in some cases they would trumpet and announce what they were doing, or they'd stand in certain places so that everybody could see them doing these sort of things, or they'd disfigure themselves so everybody knows exactly, oh, this guy's fasting. It was never meant to be that. Our actions, these things that we're doing, were never meant to be done in a public forum so that it gives praise to us. Because ultimately, people are going to look at us and say, man, that guy's super Christian. It's not for us. It's to give glory to God when it is seen. And when it's not seen, it's for our sanctification. So I encourage you to look forward into the next few verses as we consider alms, and we'll look again when we have the opportunity again to speak on the giving of alms and the right attitude of giving of alms and how we ought to do it.